All right, on this episode of Bouts Talking Bouts, excited to be talking to an individual who is set to compete at BKFC 49, which goes August the 25th, and a very intriguing bout with Bryce Henry knuckling up and towing the line against Tom Schoaf, and always good getting to have Tom on the show to talk about these different fights. How's everything going there, man?
Everything's going real well on this side of the tracks, we'll say. I really got no complaints, man. Training's going well, life's going well, and Feeling pretty good. Thanks for asking.
Yeah, no worries, man. Always good to touch base and see how things are going, but I would have guessed you were feeling good just even localized to the bare knuckle efforts, just with this being like the first go-around of the calendar year and everything like that. Like, when did this bout offer initially come your way? I guess I'm curious to get the thoughts. I imagine you'd be excited with this being the first, like, bare knuckle foray of 2023.
Yeah, it's nice to be back. So they called me a couple of months after, what did they call me? I want to say they wanted to get me back in April, actually. And it was just too soon. I had taken too much damage from the last fight, so we pushed it back a little bit. We started talking in May about a June or July card. And then we finally got everything confirmed, I want to say early July for the August card. And I'm just excited to finally be back back in the swing of things, man. It's been a long layoff, but that's pretty standard and typical for me. So, like I said, I'm just excited to be back in the gym and back to moving around and doing the things that I'm supposed to be doing. And ready to go out there and fight my last fight and call it a day.
Oh, so is this like a send-off kind of fight for you then? Sorry if I misconstrued the last bit of what you said, but...
No, I guess the best way that I can describe it is, I'm too old for this shit. I have decided not to renew contract with the BKFC. So this will be my last bare knuckle fight. Yeah.
Well, I think that's huge, man. I feel like that's not really like something that's out there. Like, I feel like people, unless maybe I missed like a post you had, you know, put up in regards to it, but I feel like that's not really a known thing. I feel like that's huge news.
No, I think you're probably the first person I've told publicly. It's something that I've kind of been tossing around between my manager and my fight team, and I think it's about that time, man. I think the long and the short of it is, you know, I got into it for a specific purpose, and I reached that purpose, and I wasn't good enough to maintain that purpose, so on to the next one.
Well, I mean, I think even in saying that, though, I mean, I imagine what you were alluding to was maybe wanting to cement yourself as a champion. But, I mean, how many fighters get to the point of even, you know, contending for gold just with your last one being for that BKFC lightweight title? I mean, you ended up fighting, like, the number one pound-for-pound guy in the sport. So, I mean, I feel like you could definitely, like, look at what you've done and very much be proud at it and everything like that. Because, yeah, I mean, even contending for a title and getting to that point, fighting a guy of Palomino's caliber is huge.
Yeah, and I think that's exactly it, man. When I got into the sport, even in the MMA, when I first started fighting, it was never to be the best fighter. It was always to be a really good coach, to have a resume that I could stand on, so that when I wanted to be a coach, people would understand that I've been there and I've done that. And you know, like you said, when you fight for the world championship against the pound for pound number one guy in the world, it's kind of hard to get better than that outside of winning. And I didn't win, and, you know, and I'm okay with that. It doesn't bother me. But I do think that I've put my body through enough damage after I've already understood the fact that I'm not good enough to be the best. You know, it's like, all right, well, let's go do another sport.
Yeah, and when you say that, I mean, I guess just making an inference from other sports I know you're involved in, like, would the path be to then, I guess, mostly prioritize submission grappling? Because I saw you had a black belt tourney a couple months ago, a few months ago. At this point, it looked like you did quite well. So is that kind of the path going forward? Like, is that the new sport, I guess?
No, I really don't know. We have a lot of really good high-level competitors here at my gym. And I don't know if that's the direction that I'll go. I just know that I don't want to hurt myself or others in the capacity that I've been doing over the last 5 years any longer. So I don't know if I'll go to MMA. I don't know if I'll go to regular golf, boxing, or just, you know, sport jiu-jitsu. I really don't have a clue. I think I'm kind of in a turning over a new leaf portion of my life. And, you know, maybe I do just settle down and turn into a coach. I genuinely don't know. I'm 34 years old, so I'm sure I haven't even reached my physical peak or prime yet. But how I feel right now is that as far as the bare knuckle game goes, is I'm tired of it. The BKFC has taken the fight out of this dog.
I mean, probably just, I mean, like you said, seasons of life, chapters of, you know, what you're going through. I mean, you've put over 15 years of time into martial arts overall. So even just like a differentiation of activities in life kind of thing, I would think that just even kind of doing that would stoke that a little bit, just like that diversity in your existence and all.
Definitely. Certainly could be. So yeah, so to answer your question, I'm not entirely sure what the next avenue is for me. I gotta close this chapter out first, and that takes place on August 25th.
Yeah, for sure. And I mean, just in talking about that next chapter here, like, what are your thoughts on just this opponent you have? Because from what I can tell, it looks like they've got some gloved boxing experience, as well as, you know, bare knuckle. Looks like they've got like a 6-0 record with like the gloved boxing, and 2-0 in BKFC. Like, what are your, I guess, thoughts on the overall resume of your opponent? I guess some of the better stylistic attributes Bryce Henry brings to the table.
I'm honestly not sure if I could have been given a more difficult fight for my going away party. Everybody knows that I have difficult with taller fighters, and he's 6'4". He's a naturally bigger fighter. He used to fight at 165 pounds. Now he fights at 155, even though he says that's his natural weight class. Yeah, he's undefeated in pro boxing at 6-0, and he's undefeated in the BKFC at 2-0, and the two guys that he beat in the UFC, one was a fairly high-level MMA fighter, and the other one was a pretty decent prospect in boxing. He's crisp, he's talented, he's athletic. I really don't have anything bad to say about the guy. You know, watching his footage, everything looks clean and sharp, and, you know, I think it'll be a very difficult puzzle for me to figure out while I'm in there, but I have faith in myself, man. I I've been doing this for a long time, and yeah, even though he is 23 and he's, I'm sure, full of piss and vinegar, I'm 34, and like you said, I've been doing this for 16 years. I've been doing this a long time, so I just have to go out there and play it smart, play it smooth, and take my time, and I'll find his weakness.
I mean, I'm curious to get some thoughts on this too. Just, you're talking about how this is like a difficult, like, stylistic matchup and like a body frame for you, and he's like more of a guy that had competed at 165 even prior to this like lightweight transition. And I mean, I've known you to get in that work with Jake Lindsay across, like, I mean, a few camps at this point for sure. Like, is that something you're, I guess, especially doing like that focused work with to like replicate the body type and maybe have him mirror some of like Bryce Henry's skills, or are you curating the camp like that at all?
So my camp is entirely specified towards Bryce. That's for sure. I mean, every fight has to be specified towards your opponent when you get to the high-level organizations and the high-level competition. In the lower levels, everybody's pretty much generally doing the same thing, but at the higher levels, everybody does something a little bit different. I've been working a lot with actually my brother. My brother's 6'1", 6'2", and he can box. So I've been doing a lot of work with him, getting mitt work in with him, and, you know, getting sparring rounds in with him, and that's helped out quite a bit. I'm trying to find more sparring partners, but it's hard to find people that are 6'4" and know how to box. And then all of my knit work and my bag work and all of the technical aspect of the things that I'm doing are all coming into play for this fight, just because I know that I'm going to have footwork, or I know that I'm going to need to have footwork. I know my movement and my foot movement, my head movement have to improve quite a bit. I don't see myself standing still much during this fight, so... I've been absolutely implementing a Bryce Henry specific game plan for this fight, for sure.
Yeah, and do you derive anything from, I guess, being able to be that guy to, you know, halt the momentum? Like, just even in the context of it being, like, an impactful kind of swan song for you, because we're talking about how he hasn't had that blemish across either gloved boxing or bare-knuckle boxing. So would that, like, sort of add something to the swan song a little bit, like galvanize an already strong kind of farewell moment, or are you not even looking at it like that?
I think in a perfect world, it would be a beautiful moment if I could go out there and have a flawless victory, and you know, wave goodbye and walk off into the sunset. I think that is a foolish idea, given the sport that I am in. The likelihood of getting out of there unscathed is slim to none, and the likelihood of winning is 50-50. So my mentality on this is just really just kind of trying to go in there and do the best that I can do, given you know what I have. I know what he's bringing to the table. I think I know what he's bringing to the table, and I've got an idea of what I'm able to do. I'm certainly not training to lose this fight, but there's no misconception in my mind that it'll be an easy victory, because it won't be.
Well, I mean, you're a guy that I think has really, like, proven yourself in those, like, arduous kind of fights, so I feel like if it even goes in that direction, you already have, like, just the awareness and the history of having really taken yourself to those moments and, like, really dug deep.
It turns into a dog, and that's really kind of the thing, is, like, I don't want this to turn into a dog fight, as I was talking about earlier. I feel like I've put my body through enough over the last 5 years in this sport. I don't want this to turn into a dog fight, but yeah, if he wants to see who the bigger dog is, he will lose that match. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about this. His best opportunity at victory is to make this a clean, technical, sharp boxing match. Because that's where all of his experience is. If he wants to make this ugly and turn this into a brawl, he will regret it. Because as you said, we've already established that you have to put me to sleep, or you have to scar my face to the point where the doctor has to step in and say, no, this fight's over. But I don't think there's any doubt in anybody's mind who the bigger dog in this fight is. I think this fight's going to come down to who the more technical dog is.
Yeah, that's almost like what I was kind of getting the sense of as you were kind of talking about it and everything. Have you seen anything maybe in some of his performances that could showcase a level of him being a dog? Because just even in some of his, like, BKFC fights, like, it seems like he got, like, pretty emphatic finishes and everything like that. Like, do you think he, even in the body of those fights, maybe showed certain moments where you can tell that dog is in him? Or do you think this fight will almost, like, provide him an opportunity to showcase, like, how much, I guess, temerity and, I guess, dog he does have in him?
No, I can't say I've seen that, and I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing. After watching the handful of fights that I've watched of his, I've never seen him in there with anybody who truly has pushed him at a technical level, we'll say. Like, people can hit him. He's not infallible in the sense where, like, he doesn't get hit. But he doesn't get hit to the point where he's so effective that he's got to fight back, you know, that he's got an uphill battle in front of him. And that may be a good thing, that maybe he's just so good at movement and defense that he just doesn't take those shots, you know, and he's just that slick. Or maybe he hasn't fought anybody who's really hit him. I genuinely don't know, but I can say that he's looked very impressive. aggressive in all of his fights. And yeah, we haven't seen that moment where he's been put down or where he's been in a scary position where he's been forced to battle back and prove that he can win. I think the most nervous he's been, we'll call it, was when, I can't remember the guy's name that he fought, but it was his first fight in the BKFC. And, you know, he just looked tired. You know, third and fourth round, he looked fatigued. He looked like he was moving a lot. And the guy just, you know, like typical MMA fighters, came forward with his face first and, you know, ran into a couple punches. And then in his last fight, I think he got a clean jab in. I think, what was his name? Brian Wagner, or I think that was his name. You know, put a couple jabs in his eye and, you know, couldn't go on and call it a day. But again, I don't think there was any dog in Brian either. So that's a really tough way to answer. It's a really tough question to answer without actually being in there with him. Because if he can be hit, he can be hurt. But if he can't be hit, well, that's just a totally different animal. So.
Yeah, I mean, I get what you're laying down for sure. And I guess I'm kind of curious because earlier you were talking about more so like, oh, I've sustained like a certain amount of damage to my body where I kind of feel good to kind of move on, but also very much the nature of the sport where as much as damage is sustained, damage is also dealt. And there's definitely been some big moments in that regard. Like, I mean, when you know, knocked that tooth out of, you know, Nathan Mitchell's mouth when you fought him, or like even when you were fighting Palomino last and the damage was to the point where I was seeing in the post, you were saying you could have even lost your eye. I guess this is a bit of a broader question too, but like, has there been a moment in the ring, either like damage you've sustained or I guess damage you've created in others, that stands out as like maybe the most visceral? I don't want to say memorable because it's maybe not the right wording, but is there a certain like particularly like visceral moment of damage either sustained or dealt out that stands out across your bare knuckle fights?
Yeah, I can think of two moments, one from each position that stand out very vividly. And the first one is damage that I've done. After I fought, what was his name? Bruce Lutch Medial. Somebody sent me a post from his Instagram page, and he was in the hospital and had to get a steel plate put in his face and had to have a bunch of surgery and wound up retiring from combat sports because of that fight. So that really hurt my heart. And then, the next fight, you know, I got hit with that right hand by Luis, and he caught me essentially in my tear duct and just ripped the skin from my face. That was why the fight got stopped. It wasn't because the cut placement, it was because the severity of the cut. I was supposed to go see a plastic surgeon to get my face fixed after that, which I didn't do. They don't pay me enough for that. But that's the point is, you know, yeah, I've experienced just because of the way that I fight. I mean, I don't think it's anything against the sport, you know. You can't blame the sport for the way I perform in the sport, but the way that I fight, I take damage, and I can't continue to do that if I want to, you know, be able to have a future in any way, shape, or form. So that would be my response to that is, yeah, I've done damage to people that hurts my heart, and I've taken damage from people, and that hurts my heart as well. And if I want any sort of longevity past this sport, I cannot continue to do this sport.
Yeah, I definitely appreciate the depth of insights you gave me there. I didn't know Bruce Lutch Medial outright retired from combat sports out of all of that, though. And I mean, it's kind of curious because I was just kind of thinking the other day about like the pair of classic fights you had with Diego Garrijo, and I just actually noticed that he hadn't competed since then. So I didn't know if that was maybe like a similar thing, or because I remember at one point that seemed like almost like an inevitable rubber match there.
Yeah, that was in talks for a long time. But Diego, for his own personal reasons, and he made this known on like his Instagram, he posted conversations that he had with matchmakers and stuff like that. But essentially, he was in the same position that I was in, with a slightly different angle to it. They wanted to do the trilogy, but from from what I gathered from the messages, is they offered him less money than the fights previously. So that was where that had come about. But his main sticking point on it was, he's like, look, I went in here and I did battle with this guy twice, and the last time I had my face shattered, and now you guys want to pay me less money to do it again. You know, that's outrageous. But I think his main concern besides the money was the fact that, you know, he wasn't getting paid for the risk that he was going through. And that's a pretty severe risk. You know, I don't know if anybody's seen that fight, but you see the swelling on that man's cheek, and to assume he got out of anything unscathed is kind of silly.
Yeah, that's just, I don't even really know what to say. That's wild that they were looking to even pay him a bit less than what was paid for some of the previous fights, because I know there's like a crop of like more modern BKFC fans in the last like couple years who may not have seen those fights, but for people who are like watching like really early on, like I felt like those fights really helped like jettison the promotion in a big way, like certainly helped like put them on the map. So yeah, no, that's crazy. Yeah,
I'm really glad you said it, because I've been saying it for a long time, so it's nice to hear it come out of somebody else's mouth. But yeah, I feel like I've done a lot for this sport, and I feel like my fights and my face have really kind of pushed, kept the ball moving for this company. And that could just be my own ego or, you know, whatever. But no, I feel like that I have given them, I fought for this company 8 times. And I feel like they're probably 8 of the best fights they've ever had. You know, win, lose, or draw, I come out and I perform. So when you're not being paid for that, it hurts.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, you always bring it every time you come out. I definitely think you're one of the more like action-oriented fighters, for sure. Like, I saw a headline ahead of like one of your last fights where you were talking about bringing Warshoff to BKFC 34, and I'm like, I don't know that you haven't brought that to any of your previous fights, though.
Could you say that one more time? You said you heard me say that I was going to bring what to the next fight?
Oh, sorry, I just saw a headline before your previous fight saying you were going to bring Warshoff to BKFC 34, and I was like, I feel like we've seen that like pretty much every fight, though. But
every time, absolutely, yeah, that's usually been pretty standard Tom Show performances, fight of the night performance. Like that's what I'm there to do. I was there to entertain the fans. I was there to put on a show, regardless of the effect that it had on my body. And now I'm starting to consider the effects that it has on my body. So yeah, my mentality's changed a little bit. But like we talked about earlier, you can take the dog from the fight, but you can't take the fight from the dog. So yeah, if he wants to figure out who the bigger dog is, we can do that.
Well, definitely a lot of intrigue heading into this one, man, and great getting to talk to you as always. But just in being mindful of your time and schedule, Tom, is there like a final parting thought you might want to add as we're wrapping up here, man?
Honestly, I want to say thank you to all fans out there who take the time out of their life to show me some support. Thank you for that. Thank you, Dylan, for having me on the show, man. Thanks to my team. I really wouldn't be able to do this without them. And then thanks to my brother, you know, because he's been helping me so much with this camp. It's just been out of control. And then I would say last but most certainly not least, I would have to thank the Lord, because this has been none of this would be possible without him. So that's all I got, man. Thank you very much.
Well, thank you so much for coming on the show, and just in a much broader sense, thank you for, you know, all you've done for the sport of bare knuckle. Like I was saying before, you were one of the guys who was with the company from very early on, one of the more experienced guys, got yourself in the rankings, fought for the title, just a great run, and like I was saying, always exciting fights. And I feel like this Bryce Henry fight at BKFC 49 will very much, you know, be within that trend for sure. But you know, in saying that, very much excited for August 25th. But until then, Tom, you have a good rest of your day, man. And yeah, just, you know, thank you so much for the time and for the, you know, great career, and best of luck with whatever might be next.
Thank you for your kind words, man. I really appreciate that.